straining to breathe.
"I'm going to kill you,"
Valhelena hisses between her clenched teeth as Iko's health bar begins to rapidly deplete. Uh-oh. "This doesn't look good," I say, already dashing toward them.
"Val!"
We rush to them as a group, yelling and screaming.
"Val, stop! Val!"
We reach them in time to see the giant has finally let go, and for Iko to choke in a gulp of air with a sputtering cough. They lay on top of one another, breathing heavily for a while. Again, my mind goes to places it shouldn't.
"You nearly killed me, stupid,"
Iko says between pants.
"I know,"
Valhelena says, still panting.
"I'm sorry."
The pants slowly turn to chuckles, and then to outright laughs. Valhelena wraps her arms around Iko again, but in a hug this time, squeezing her lovingly as they rock back and forth on the ground.
"I've missed you, Iko,"
Valhelena says in a sob.
"I've missed you so much."
Iko leans her head into Valhelena's chest.
"I missed you too, you big idiot."
The laughs become sobs as both women weep and laugh in each other's arms. The sight warms my stomach. I'm happy to see them reconciled, but at the same time, it's a bit difficult to watch, especially after what I was just thinking.
"Okay, this is just getting embarrassing now,"
Gilly says, putting my emotions into words.
"Can you say cringe?"
"Tell me about it," Maxis says, sounding disappointed. "I think I just lost my boner."
The next couple of hours go by in a blur. I break out a portion of the Lakota meat, and Valhelena roasts it over the open fire. Under the stars, we have a mini banquet to celebrate our reunion, but even more so to celebrate that of Iko and Val. There's not much in the way of sides, but the meat itself is tasty, and when Iko materializes a couple of bottles of elven wine she must have snagged in Elnor, the party really kicks off. I've never seen Valhelena happier, and it warms my heart to see her talking and laughing with Iko like a real sister again. It seems to break the ice for everyone else as well. As the night goes on, I even see Iko let down her guard and become the more open version of herself that I've come to know over the past few days.
"Sorry you all had to witness that, by the way,"
Iko says after taking a swig straight from the bottle.
"If you hadn't noticed, we're kind of dysfunctional."
"No problem at all,"
Rembrandt says, peering over the top of his shades.
"Was one heck of a good show, mind you."
We all laugh at that, and Valhelena lets out a groan.
"Gah, don't remind me. Jeez, I feel so embarrassed now."
"Totally should be,"
Gilly says, tossing a pebble at her.
"How are you supposed to be a role model for me now?"
That one gets a goddess laugh.
"So are you too good?"
Maxis says, looking between them. Valhelena looks at Iko, and the two share a little smile.
"We've still got a lot to catch up on, but yeah, we're good.
Until the rematch." Everyone laughs at that. The night goes on, and I finally get a few moments alone with Gilly. I take her for a seat by the edge of the lake and tell her all about the witch spider and what happened to me when I died. I also tell her how Iko ran a marathon with me on her back to save me, and Gilly's face goes stark white. She covers her mouth with both hands and looks like she's about to cry. Oh, crap. Did I just say something wrong?
"I'm sorry," I say. "Maybe I shouldn't have told you. That's why I didn't mention it in my letter. I didn't want to upset you."
Gilly shakes her head quickly and then pulls me into a hug.
"No, no. I'm just happy you're still here."
She sniffs back a tear.
"That's so scary. That place. What do you think it was?"
I shrug. "I don't know. But it must be connected to what I saw down in the mines."
"Do you think we should tell everyone else about this now?"
I look back to the campfire, where the four adults are now dancing like little kids around the flames. Iko with Rembrandt, and Maxis with Valhelena. The half-giant's big laugh echoing across the distance as she and Iko sing some chant-like song. I shake my head.
"Nah, not right now. I don't want to spoil tonight."
Gilly nods. "After we save Val and Iko's sister," I say. "That's still top priority.
I don't want to detract from that. Speaking of which, what level are you now?
I could have just checked her character, but it was way better to see Gilly's eyes light up with pride as she tells me.
78!
Awesome! You can almost use that bow now.
Yep, and whoa!
She pauses as her eyes light up again, but literally this time, as she scans me with her HUD.
You're 84?
One more to go, I say with a grin. You're going to have to show me those catfish tomorrow.
You betcha, she says. But I've got something to ask you first.
I furrow my brow at the oddly timed question. What's that? She then grins.
May I have this dance?
I burst out laughing.
Gilly, you're too much,
I say, and hook my arm in hers as we stand together. We head back toward the campfire and join our friends in their crazy little song and dance. It feels so good to be together again, laughing and playing, almost like a family. After what I've been through these last few days, it feels like an almost perfect night. And if not for my mom and Citadel, it probably would be. Chapter 35. Level Up. I stabbed the giant catfish with my kunai, my heart racing with anticipation. Its HP bar drops to zero, and the dolphin-sized fish rolls belly up in the muddy water as a wall of text scrolls onto my HUD.
You defeated the giant goonch. You gained 35,000 experience points. Congratulations, you have gained a level. You are now level 85. You gained 2 attribute points. Congratulations, you have unlocked veteran points. Congratulations, you have unlocked ability enhancement. Congratulations, you have unlocked ability slots. Congratulations, you have unlocked a new ability. Perfect dodge.
Hollers and cheers arise from my friends on the lakeshore. The whole gang is gathered together, clapping and cheering for me as I obtain my final level. It feels great, like a massive journey is finally completed, though I know there's still a long way to go in regards to the actual journey that lies ahead of us. Gilly, now level 80, raises her new bow in triumph.
Grats, Reese! You did it, babe!
Well done, mate!
Rembrandt claps. Not bad, little bro. Maxis gives me a nod.
Indeed,
Iko says coolly with a smile. But now the real leveling begins.
Huh?
I say, looking at her from across the water. She means the end game, Valhelena says, taking a seat on the trunk of an overturned tree near the edge of the lake. Specialization and vet points. I saw the unlocks, but I have no idea what they mean or how to navigate the new system. I check them out and see a new screen appear on my HUD.
At level 85, all experience points gained will be used toward the awarding of veteran points. Veteran points can be spent to further enhance and customize your character. You have earned 0 of 20 veteran points. You have 0 veteran points to allocate. You are 11,245 of 250,000 XP from your next veteran point. Veteran awards. Attribute point, 2 VP. Ability upgrade, 3 VP. Cross-class ability slot, 0 of 4, 5 VP. Non-class ability slot, 0 of 2, 10 VP.
Guess I've got a lot to learn still, I say, trying to make heads and tails of it all. What are cross-class and non-class ability slots?
Remember how I told you that you can unlock new abilities at 85?
Rembrandt says.
That's how you do it.
I think back and do recall Rem saying that right after we cleared the mines of the Goblin Queen.
Oh, right. So if I unlock a slot, I could use power attack as a ninja, right?
Iko nods.
Right. That's a cross-class ability since you need warrior to unlock ninja. Non-class slots would be for, I don't know, slotting in a mage ability if you have it, like celestial magic.
Wait, so I could learn healing spells as a ninja?
Wouldn't recommend it since you'd suck and it'd be a total waste of your points, Iko says. But technically, yes.
Wow, I say. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm totally jealous, Gilly says. I've still got 5 more levels to go before I can get all that stuff.
but I'm sick of killing fish.
That gives us all a laugh. I trudge through the muddy water back to the lakeshore and get slaps on the back from the guys and hugs from the girls. All save for Aiko, who gives me a trade request instead.
Here, Aiko says. Time to give you these.
I expect to see the lightning and poison katana blades appear in the trade, but instead, I see something else.
Aiko wishes to trade with you. Aiko offers you Anju, plus 80 agility, plus 50 TP, plus 50 katana skill, rare, legendary. Zushio, plus 80 dexterity, plus 50 stamina, plus 50 enmity, rare, legendary.
Holy crap.
Legendary weapons? If you're going to be the main tank, then you better have the right tools for the job.
She flicks the ornate silver kunai over in her palms.
These are my tanking blades. Even if you can't land too many hits, these will definitely make you hold hate. And the added katana skill will help you land hits on monsters way higher level than your accuracy cap will allow.
Aiko. Wow, are you sure? She shrugs.
The lightning and poison set is for damage, so I might as well use them instead, since I'll be DPSing most of the time.
I guess you have a point there.
Of course I do. Now come on, make the trade, pretty boy.
She grins at me.
Or do I need to kiss you again?
She bursts out laughing, and I go beet red as my ears burn. I inadvertently glance at Gilly, who has a look of confusion on her face.
What did she just say?
Oh, crap.
Easy, Gilly.
Aiko smiles at her with a wink.
Just a joke.
I then get a PM. Aiko.
Our private little joke.
Yeesh. My heart is thundering in my chest as I make the trade, and I pray that Gilly doesn't notice my discomfort. I laugh it off as best I can as Aiko enjoys another cackle laugh, tickled pink by my reaction. Just when I start to think Aiko's okay, she goes and does something completely off the wall again. I'm beginning to wonder if maybe she's bipolar or something.
Thanks, Aiko,
I say as I equip the weapons. I really appreciate this. I spend my last points on vitality and take a look at my brand new level 85 character sheet.
Name, Reese. Class, Ninja. Level, 85. Strength, 6, plus 25. Dexterity, 80, plus 85. Agility, 80, plus 85. Intelligence, 4. Mind, 6. Vitality, 31, plus 20. HP, 1,282 of 1,282. Stamina, 357 of 357, plus 50. TP, 231 of 231, plus 50.
Holy cow! I just doubled my dexterity and agility stats with these weapons. Level 85 legendary gear is no joke.
Trust me, you'll appreciate it even more when you're tanking the Shadow King, she says.
You're going to need every stat you got. I have no doubt she's correct, but seeing my new stat totals, I can't help but feel a little invincible. If I was a dodge tank before, I must be like a super dodge tank now.
Speaking of the Shadow King, I say, now that I'm 85 and Gilly is 80, do you think that's good enough to head to the Vale?
Aiko considers it a moment.
Maybe.
She then looks to Gilly.
You have Great Heal 4 and Life Siphon, right?
Gilly nods.
That's pretty much all we need from her to heal this fight,
Aiko says. So it's possible.
What's Life Siphon? I ask. My level 80 ability, Gilly says. I can use it to convert my HP into TP when I run out. I've been putting most of my points into TP and mind too, so I have over 1,000 TP now.
That's really good, Gilly, Valhelena says, stretching out on the log.
What's your celestial magic skill at now?
312,
Gilly says, and then she grins.
I got tons of skill ups on those catfish.
I chuckle at that. Maxis folds his arms and shrugs.
Well, a few more levels probably wouldn't hurt, but the XP grind doubles after 80. She won't be able to gain levels as quickly as before.
True, Rembrandt says.
It'll probably take Gilly a good 3 days or more to hit 85 killing just those fish.
Gilly frowns.
Yeah, that's a long time.
You know what? Iko says. With 2 Dodge tanks, plus Maxis and Rembrandt, I say we're better equipped now than when we fought the Shadow King the first time. We could be ready. What do you think, Val?
We all look to Val Helena, who sits up on the tree trunk and lets out a sigh.
Well, since I'm the one responsible for this whole mess, I guess it falls to me to make the call.
She looks to Maxis and Rembrandt.
First, though, I want to thank you two for helping us with this. I know this is a sidetrack for you, but it means the world to us.
Hey, Maxis says with a smile.
Your priority is my priority.
Aye, no worries, Rembrandt says. Besides, all this suspense about this Becky is killing me. I'm dying to meet the girl now.
Everyone chuckles, but we go quiet again as Val Helena mulls it over. I know she'd rather leave as soon as possible. I do as well. But she probably doesn't want us to fail, either. It's a tough call to make, and given the history, perhaps it's one she can't. Not again. Not when so much is riding on it this time.
I say we're ready, I state boldly. All eyes turn to me, and my heart beats with adrenaline. Since I'm the main tank, I think it should be up to me too. And I say we should go.
Val Helena looks up at me.
Reese, are you sure?
We can't forget that Becky's suffering in there, I say.
Time may move slower, but we have no idea for sure. Every second still counts.
I look around at my teammates, at the people I've come to trust with my life. With them by my side, I feel stronger than ever.
I think we're in good shape, like Iko said. I'm ready to do it. And besides, the sooner we save Becky, the sooner we can get back on track with saving Citadel.
And my mom. I give Val Helena a final nod.
The Shadow King needs to go down. Now.
Val Helena smiles.
Well, if you're confident, then that's all I need to hear. We go on your say-so, Reese.
Thank you.
Agreed, Gilly says. And I promise I won't be a gimp, you guys.
We all laugh.
Okay, then it's decided, Maxis says. We head for the Vale.
Now comes the hard part.
I look at my brother with a squint.
What's that?
Getting through the wild.
Chapter 36. Into the Wild. The noonday sun darkens as we near the edge of the safe zone. It's as if a cloud has passed overhead, but looking up, there are no clouds. Only a strange dark haze that exudes across the invisible barrier where the safe zone stops and the wild begins. Even the ground, too, denotes the demarcation. The grass transitions abruptly to gray sand, as if it were a rug cut with a carpet knife. A feeling of dread bubbles up within me as I look beyond the grass to the rolling dunes in darkness. I glance at my comrades. They appear equally struck by trepidation as they peer into the wild. All save my brother, that is. He looks pumped and ready to go, like a boxer before a prize fight.
Does anyone know where we're actually going? Gilly asks.
It's a good question. I recall the map Blacktop showed us, but I have no clue how to follow it within a place that has few, if any, landmarks.
Rembrandt steps forward and glances up at the sky, then out onto the darkened dunes ahead.
I can navigate, he says. I'll take point.
He then looks to me and Iko.
You two can keep us invisible, yeah?
Just invisible, I pipe up, remembering my initial blunder when we first arrived.
We won't have sneak for those dogs.
Let's hope that's all we encounter, Maxis says, tapping his fist into his palm.
Okay, listen up. I'm not sure of everyone's experience in the wild, but for me, it's where I spend most of my time when I come here.
Everyone, save Rembrandt, looks at him cross-eyed. Gilly, however, goes a step further and blurts out,
why?
Because the things in there drop the most shards, he says. As much as a boss in the safe zones. Anyway, that wasn't the main point of me mentioning that. I'm saying this because most people, even those who have been on the surface for years, only ever experience the wild when they first arrive.
Even then, it's usually only for a few minutes as they run to a safe zone. I expect Aiko to say something smart-alecky about that, but even she seems to curb her normally flippant attitude in favor of paying attention to what my brother's saying. I have to admit I do as well. It gives me a whole new respect for him. Knowing what I do now, if he goes adventuring and looting in the wild on a regular basis, then to him, the safe zones must be just another version of the shards. Being able to survive for longer than a few minutes takes a bit of know-how, Maxis continues. So I'm going to tell you what to do to stay alive, in case we get separated or something goes wrong. I shudder inwardly at that thought. First thing, direction, Maxis says. He stoops down and grabs a handful of sand, then releases it in a cloud that gets carried off in the wind. If you noticed, the wind is blowing toward the wild. For some reason, the wind always blows from safe zones and into the wild zone. So if you get lost, always head against the wind. It'll lead you to a safe zone eventually. Good to know, Valhalla says. What else? The dogs, Maxis says. They're pretty easy to avoid when they're in a pack because they make a bunch of noise, but there are lone wolf scouts that can really get the drop on you. If you encounter one, it's best to try and take it out right away. Go for the throat first. It won't be able to call the rest of the pack then. I think back to our arrival and dealing with those terrible dogs. The fear and horror I felt when I saw Valhalla get bit and experience pain for the first time rears back up in my gut. It was a shock to my system in more ways than one. But I'm stronger now. A lot stronger. Maybe they won't seem so bad to me now. I hope. This one's for the two youngsters, Maxis says, looking to me and Gilly. Abilities work differently in there, and the feedback does too. You'll have to adjust. Yeah, I remember, I say. No special effects from casting spells and stuff, right? It's more than that, Maxis says. Think of the safe zones like having powered steering or training wheels. The AI is always fine-tuning actions to keep outputs within certain specs and limits. In the wild, it's all freestyle. What do you mean? Gilly asks. It means that when you do something like a charge attack, you won't automatically track and hit your target like you do in the shards or safe zone. You can miss or hit something else. Same thing if you cast a healing spell. Stuff like that. I nod. I'll be careful. Hopefully we won't need to fight at all, but if we run into guardians, we may have to. What's a guardian? I ask, almost afraid of the answer. It's like a suit of armor with guns, Rembrandt says. Nasty things. Usually only see stuff like that in the shards I'm from. Are they like Omegas? Gilly asks. Maxis lets out a guffaw. No. If we find an Omega, we run. Period. He then looks to Rembrandt. How long do you figure we got in there? Rembrandt's eyes light up with his HUD as he checks what looks to be Blacktop's map. If we stay at a sprint, I give us 3 hours till we make it to the Vale. That doesn't sound too bad, Gilly says. Aye, Rembrandt says. Let's hope it won't be, Gills. As I pass through the invisible barrier separating the safe zone from the wild, I immediately begin to feel different. I'm not sure if it's an over-exaggerated reaction due to the information my brother just gave us, but I feel heavier, off balance. My clothes tug at my skin funny, and the blades hanging on my hips pull me to one side more than the other as I step into the soft sand. A new emotion seizes me then. Fear. It rises up in my chest like ice and makes my legs tremble. It's something I haven't felt this strongly since the last time I stepped onto these sands, or perhaps when I saw those giant monsters down in the mines and on planet Hell. Either way, it's the same feeling, gripping anxiety that causes my heart to race in my throat. A subtle thought in the back of my mind whispers that the game is no longer playing fair, and that anything can happen. Just like in the real world. A message pops onto my HUD. Host domain lost. Reconnecting. Fail. Your domain is no longer accessible. Certain functions and quest lines may be unavailable. I don't recall seeing a message like that before, the first time we were in the wild. Perhaps when we first arrived, we had no domain, so it didn't matter. Entering the safe zone must have initialized something. Something it can't detect now.
Sentry towers, Aiko says, pointing ahead of her. Dogs, too.
I look to where Aiko's keen eyes have spotted the packs of dogs roaming around the towers. The towers remind me of lifeguard stations for some reason, though I've only ever seen them in old pre-war movies. Maybe they just look that way to me because of all the sand.
We'll have to time this carefully, Maxis says. The invis will keep the towers from activating, but we'll need to keep our distance from those dogs.
Who built those things anyway? I ask. They don't seem like anything from a game world.
Maxis shrugs. Someone with a sick sense of humor, I guess.
Hey, I've got an idea, Gilly says. Reese, do you still have some of these?
She materializes a small vial in her hand, and I focus on it to see what it is.
Sneaking potion. Makes the user undetectable by aggressive enemies. Wears off when an action is performed. Duration, 5 minutes.
It is rumored the mages of the Ivory Keep created this potion to sneak into the lairs of dragons.
No way, I say in disbelief. You still got those?
She laughs.
Yeah? Don't you have a few left?
I check through my inventory, and sure enough, I have 3 sneaking potions left. I get an odd sense of nostalgia as I materialize them. Making the decision to buy these potions and head to the Silvertooth Mines was what started this whole adventure. It's where I found the Scroll of Shadow Copy and eventually met Val Helena. I think back to when I nearly junked the scroll to make inventory space. Man, how different my life would be right now if I'd done that. I'd still be laid up at home, a cripple, not going out with Gilly, still trying to find a way to save my mom. Although, I suppose I'm still trying to do that last part. Save my mom, that is, along with the rest of Citadel. I guess everything has its downside. But in retrospect, buying these potions was the best decision of my life.
Here you go, guys, I say as I make trade requests to hand them out.
Nice one, mate, Rembrandt says, completing the trade. Initial entry will be smooth as silk with these.
Let's get to it then, Aiko says, and then chugs down her potion. We all follow suit, disappearing from existence before heading forward as a group toward the towers. It's a good 100 feet or so till we get past them, and my heart rate goes up as we pass a roaming pack of dogs. Seeing them up close, they look bigger than I remember. More like lions than dogs, with strange plated tech armor over their heads and bodies. I focus on one to check its stats.
Lupine Sentry. Level 100. No data available. Affinity, N.A.
Right, now I remember. Level 100, but little more info than that. It's just another reminder that we're not exactly in the game world anymore. We get past the dogs and towers with relative ease thanks to the potions, and I almost wish we had more to make just as smooth a transition for the rest of the way. But the potions only last for 5 minutes, and we have hours of running to do yet. As the potions wear off, Rembrandt takes his position in the lead and scans the dunes with his mirror shades.
Clear path this way, he says. Cloak us up, and we can start running.
Make sure you watch each other's footprints, Maxis says. Say something in party chat if you see someone going off course.
I'm reminded of that additional complication. In the shards and safe zones, the game uses a faint outline to make it easier to see both yourself and your teammates while invisible. But here, we'll be just as invisible to ourselves as to our enemies.
You cloak first,
Aiko says to me with a nod.
We'll alternate our timers to keep Shadow Wall up permanently.
Got it, I say, and cast the spell.
Just like when I first arrived, there are no cool, swirly kanji, just a buff that appears on my HUD as our bodies turn to glass. We run in sprints for the next few hours, reminding me of the journey I just made with Aiko. It's a grueling ordeal. Running in the sand feels like I'm constantly going uphill. My legs burn with exertion. I stay close to Gilly to make sure she's keeping up as we move at a breakneck pace, stopping only for a minute or so every half hour to let Rembrandt take his bearings. Overhead, the sky darkens the deeper we go, with thunderclouds so thick it looks like night. Every so often, the sky illuminates with a crackle of lightning that stabs through the air, adding to the anxiety already coursing through me. We skirt past packs of roaming sentry dogs, but each time Rembrandt spots them and makes course corrections to avoid confrontation. We take wide arcs to avoid detection, and shortcuts where we can. About 2 hours in, we stop for a real break, and I all but collapse onto the sand to rest my aching legs. Next to me, Gilly does the same.
Jeez, she says with a pant. How much further, Rem? I think I'm gonna die.
Not too much longer, Rembrandt says in the party chat as he scans the horizon. We should be past the mountains by now. We're making good time, Maxis says. 10 minutes, and we'll head out again. Not much time to recover, but considering where we are right now, I actually don't mind the rush. I share some water with Gilly as we try to catch our breaths. A PM lights up in my HUD. Val Helena.
Hey, you got a sec?
I look up to see Val Helena standing over me, her goddess-like face matted with sweat and sand. She plops down next to me, and I half wonder why she's contacting me through a PM instead of just talking. I figure it must be something private she wants to talk about, so I do the same, even though we're now sitting right next to each other with Gilly on the other side. Me.
Sure, Val. What's up?
She looks at me and gives a little smile, but still she doesn't speak.
Val Helena. I don't think I ever got to tell you, but thanks for what you did.
I'm not sure what she's referring to, and furrow my brow with confusion.
Me.
What I did?
Val Helena. For giving my sister back to me.
She looks away from me and toward Iko, who's standing with Rembrandt and Maxis as they scour the dunes. I shrug, but smile.
Me.
Hey, I just happened to be the guy with the ninja skills to pull it off. No biggie.
Val Helena.
No. I don't just mean saving her back in Stormwall, although I'm grateful for that too, of course. I mean getting us to heal our relationship.
Me.
Huh?
Val Helena.
When we made up, it was like a burden was lifted from my soul. I didn't even realize how much resentment I was harboring against her. How stressed I was over losing my relationship with her. She really means the world to me. Both of them do. I'm not sure what to say to that, so I just smile. She takes my hand in hers and gives it a squeeze.
Val Helena.
Thank you for that, Rhys. For caring about her when I couldn't. I really owe you. You truly are a special guy. I blush a little, but manage to squeeze her hand back.
Me.
I'm not sure I did all that much, but I'm glad you guys are a family again. Soon we'll get Becky back too.
Val Helena gives me a little nod and smiles, then stands again to join her sister.
What was that about? Gilly asks once she leaves, no doubt noticing our silent conversation.
She wanted to thank me for saving Iko, I say, and then I chuckle. I should be the one thanking her for saving me, though.
Who? Gilly asks. Iko or Val?
I laugh. I meant Iko, but honestly both, I guess.
Gilly laughs at me with a snicker.
You and your fangirls.
That gets me laughing even more, until Rembrandt's voice cuts through my mirth.
Guys, you need to see this.
My heart skips at the alarm in his voice. Gilly and I get up, and we all crowd around where Rembrandt is peering into the semi-darkness of the rolling dunes.
What are we looking for? I ask, seeing nothing but gray sand and dark sky.
There's a structure out there.
Like a watchtower?
Gilly asks.
No, much bigger.
He then points.
There, about half a mile away.
I strain my eyes and finally see what he's talking about. As the clouds shift, I see huge curved spires twist into the air, like the bones of a giant ribcage. They have to be close to 100 feet tall. Around their base, I see dogs and other humanoid-looking things milling about. Guardians, I guess. But then I see something that causes my heart to slam against my chest. An enormous figure, nearly the same height as one of the rib bones, lumbers through the skeletal remains. It's hard to make out the details from this distance, but it's humanoid, its skin covered in metal plates, like armor. Its head looks more like a helmet than a face, and in one hand, it drags a massive sword the size of a semi-truck.
What the heck is that thing?
I say, too awestruck to even comprehend it.
It's that dead builder,
Rembrandt says. Remember? The one Blacktop told us about. Like the skeleton of a giant snake, made of metal.
No, I say. I mean that huge thing walking through it.
Though there's only one thing it could be.
Is that an Omega?
Yeah, Maxis says. That's what they look like.
Iko darts her violet eyes to me.
Is that the same as the giants you saw, Reese?
My stomach lurches as my chest freezes with ice. I never told Iko to keep it a secret. My mind races to think of what to say next, but all I come up with is a stupid,
huh?
The giants you saw down in the mines, she says, and the ones you saw when you died. Did they look like that? Were they Omegas?
Oh, crap. Died? My brother shoots me a hostile glare.
What the heck is she talking about, man?
Oi, and what giants? Rembrandt says.
You saw something when you fell down that mine shaft?
Maxis gives Rembrandt the 10th degree.
He fell down a mine shaft?
Oh, bollocks.
What's going on?
Valhelena says, looking more concerned than perplexed.
Reese?
Oh my,
Iko says with a stupid little grin.
They didn't know?
Gilly.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh is right. I'm in hot water now. Maxis gets in my face, grabbing me by the scarf.
You've got 2 seconds to explain this, Ryan. What is she talking about?
Max, please, Gilly jumps in. He was just trying to do what was best for the group.
Maxis points at Gilly.
She knows too?
Yeah. Well, kinda. Yes.
Damn it, man! Maxis shouts. What's with you and these secrets? Tell us what happened. Tell us right now.
My stomach goes sick when I see Valhelena, Rembrandt, and Maxis grilling me with their stares. They're people I've come to trust with everything. And suddenly I feel like I've betrayed them completely. Gilly shrugs at me, apologetically, while Iko merely shakes her head.
You want me to tell them?
Iko says. No, I say quickly, before my brother blows another gasket. I've got to put this straight. It's not how I wanted this to happen, but it's too late now.
I'll tell them.
I'll tell them everything. I spend the next 20 minutes recounting what I saw down in the mines, as well as what I saw when I nearly died. No one says anything as I talk, and I do so near automatically, almost like it's someone else talking. My heart's racing with anxiety when I finish. I don't know what kind of reaction to expect.
Bloody hell, Rembrandt says eventually. You actually saw Amanda?
I nod.
I'm sorry. I couldn't do anything for her.
My God. Reese. Valhelena reaches out to me, taking my hand in hers.
I can't believe you went through all that and didn't say anything.
He did it for a good reason, Gilly says.
Which I'd definitely like to know, Maxis says, his words pure ice.
Before I can answer, he explodes at me.
What the hell were you thinking, Ryan? You nearly die and don't say anything? Jeez, man, what the heck would Mom think if she knew I'd let something like that happen to you?
His mention of Mom pains me with even more regret.
And keeping secrets about what you saw? How could you keep something like that a secret, man?
I flinch from his words as my soul comes undone. I knew my brother would be mad, but hearing those words from his mouth somehow hurts way more than they should. Or maybe it's just more than they used to. Before, they would have flowed like water off a duck's back, mutual resentment simply rearing its head. But I actually care what Mike thinks of me now. And I just made myself a fool in his eyes.
I wasn't keeping it a secret like that, I say, trying to explain. I was just trying to keep us from getting sidetracked. Sidetracked? He shouts. Do you realize what you found? I've never seen or heard of anything like that before. You know how important that might be? We need to head back there and check it out. See? I shout. That's exactly why I didn't want to say anything.
What?
Why?
Because of you.
What? Because I knew you'd go back on your promise to help Val if I did.
Maxis's mouth opens for a second, but nothing comes out. His eyes dart toward Valhelena for a moment, and then back to me.
That's why you kept all this a secret? Because of me? I don't feel good about saying it, but it's the truth.
Yes.
His blue eyes blaze with hostility.
So I'm the bad guy, huh?
He continues to glare at me, and I melt under his stare. My head lowers in shame. Val Helena reaches out to touch his arm, but he snatches it away with a scowl.
Leave me alone, all of you.
He gives me a special glare.
Especially you, you little punk.
My stomach falls through the floor as he turns and storms away.
Oi, Max, where are you going, mate? I said piss off!
Shame and guilt creeps up my spine as I watch him walk away.
I'm sorry, you guys. I was going to tell you all, I swear. I just didn't want it to distract us from saving Becky.
Oh, Reese. Val Helena pulls me into a hug, and my eyes sting with tears.
Don't worry about it, okay? You did what you felt was best, and you did it for a good reason.
I shake my head. I'm not so sure anymore.
Want me to go keep an eye on him?
Aiko says, jerking her thumb toward my brother as he heads up the side of a dune.
No, I'll go,
Val Helena says. She looks back down to me.
Max will be fine, okay? We'll all be fine. I'll go talk to him.
I look back to my brother as Val Helena trots off after him. He has his back to me still, approaching the top of the rise, his distinctive walk full of piss and vinegar. I catch a glimpse of something large and fast racing across the dune toward him, and my heart stops.
Mike!
My call goes unheard as whatever it is slams into him, sending my brother sailing into the air. Val Helena screams. So do I when I see his health bar all but disappear. My soul comes undone as I watch his body hit the ground and not move after.
Mike?
I whisper my brother's name, my skin prickling. I don't know if he's alive or dead.
Mike!
Chapter 37. Escape. My heart jumps into my throat as I see the thing that attacked my brother rise up from behind the dune. Rusted plates of armor form a roughly human figure that stands about 10 feet tall. It looks similar to that Omega, except smaller in size. Beneath the armor, I catch a glimpse of raw red muscle with no skin. Its head is covered by a rusted chainmail cowl, and within is a full-faced medieval helm with a T-slot for the eyes, or however this thing saw. In place of one of its arms is the massive barrel of a 5-foot-long gun. I know what it is before I check it. Guardian Type B. Level 130. No data available. Affinity NA. At that level, I'm not sure I can even hit it, much less damage it. I check for my brother next. He hasn't moved from where he landed, a few feet in front of the Guardian. I've got to get to him. I start running as the giant suit of armor lowers the barrel of its weapon toward my brother's head.
No!
I act without thinking, flying forward with a charge strike. I kick up sand as I sail through the air and slam into the Guardian with my kunai. I land a critical hit, but its HP bar doesn't even budge. My strike accomplishes what I wanted, though. I knock the huge barrel away from my brother.
Reese, be careful!
Rembrandt shouts, already pulling out his pistols.
That thing is seriously high level! It can kill you in a hit!
The thought had already crossed my mind, and I pray it's not too late for Maxis.
Gilly, get to Maxis! I'll keep its attention!
I'm on it!
She cries and raises her bow to cast a heal spell. I look at the Guardian up close. It's nearly twice my height, with capabilities yet unknown. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I can't be bothered to care about that right now. I need to save my brother.
Fight me!
I scream with a war cry, and the Guardian turns to face me, its T-shaped visor glowing red. Oh, crap. I brace myself for a serious fight as it swings its huge gun barrel in my direction. I cast Shadow Haste and manage to squeeze in a shadow copy right before it opens fire. The barrel flashes with bright orange flames, and my adrenaline surges as the world seems to slow. I pop active dodge to avoid whatever it's shooting at me. I'm not sure if it's the effect of my now 160 agility or the wild, but I move much quicker than I expect, shifting in a blur of nanodust as the projectiles pass right through me.
but then something happens that scares the heck out of me. I dodge the shots, but when they land, they explode into balls of fire that wipe my shadow clean. AOEs!
Reese!
Aiko shouts, spraying a cloud of nanodust from her palms as she runs toward me.
Get out of there!
Aiko casts Shadow Mist. The Guardian resists the slow. The Guardian resists the paralyze. The Guardian resists the poison. No surprises there. This thing is probably way too high level for any of our spells to land. My heart jackhammers in my chest as I struggle to plan my next move. I look for Maxis again, and am relieved to see Valhelena carrying him away on her shoulder. Gilly casts her heal spell, and while I don't see the usual white swirls of magic, I do see his HP bar go up to full. A wave of relief rushes through me. My brother's safe, but I still have this guardian to contend with. I swoop in and chop at its armored thigh to keep its attention. I land critical hits, but again, I don't see its HP bar move at all. This thing's armor is either impenetrable, or it's got a ton of HP. Maybe both. I use retreat to gain some distance from it, and then sprint away in a zigzag pattern as it opens fire behind me. The ground explodes around me, to the left and the right, the projectiles landing where I'd been a split second ago, shooting sand high into the air. It stops shooting and begins running after me. Luring it away worked, I guess, but now I need some way to survive this thing's attacks. I cast Shadow Copy and get an idea. If the Guardian is shooting constant AoEs, then I need some way to mitigate it. I materialize the Witch Spider's ring in my palm. It'll drain my HP with poison, but I'll be able to get Shadow Copy up twice as fast. I'm about to place it on my finger when another round of explosions goes off right at my feet. The first one takes my shadow, and the second knocks me into the air with the force of a truck. Blinding pain radiates through every bone in my body as half my hit points disappear. I land on my back about 20 feet away, winded, my head spinning. What the heck just happened? I struggle to lift my head from the ground to find out what hit me. It didn't come from the Guardian. I never saw it shoot another barrage. Thankfully, Aiko has its attention now, tanking it while Rembrandt peppers it with explosive blasts to its shoulder. I stand and glance about, only to spot another Guardian running in my direction. It's all the way back by the carcass of the Builder, over a half mile away. Holy crap! It managed to both see and target me from that far? I see more coming behind it, at least two or three, along with a pack of dogs that's well ahead of them. My heart jumps into my throat.
Guys! More are coming!
Bloody hell!
Rembrandt cries, looking back toward the Builder.
We've got to run, now!
Disengage!
Aiko says as she uses retreat and shadow cloak to make the Guardian lose sight of her. I run toward Gilly, who's with Valhelena and Maxis, the giantess helping my brother to his feet.
Come on, guys, I say. We need to go.
My brother focuses on me, but his eyes are unreadable. I can't tell if he's mad or embarrassed or what.
Rem, get us out of here, he says,
assuming the position of leadership again. He looks over my shoulder to where the dogs and guardians approach in the distance.
We'll have to go for broke now. There's no stopping until we hit the safe zone.
Crap. I look to Gilly. You okay? She gives me a nod.
You don't look so good, though.
She raises her bow, and I feel the pain in my body ease as my HP goes to full.
There.
Thanks, I say. Let's move.
We begin to run, and I get about 10 feet before something digs at the back of my mind, like I'm forgetting something. I look back for Rem to make sure he's with us, but the cyberpunker is already running next to me.
I managed to land a stun on the Guardian, he says, taking the lead. This way.
I take a few more steps before my stomach drops through the floor as I finally remember what it is. The ring. I never got to put it on, and it's no longer in my inventory.
Crap!
I stop dead in my tracks and turn about, helplessly, scanning the dunes.
Guys! We need to go back! I lost the ring!
What?
Maxis says, slamming to a halt.
What ring?
The Witch Spider ring!
You've got to be kidding!
Aiko suddenly reappears next to me.
You lost it?
The Guardian reanimates and my brother lets loose with a curse.
Forget about it! We've got to go!
No,
Aiko says.
We can't fight the Shadow King without it.
Rembrandt steps forward,
his shades already glowing as he scans the sands.
Keep that thing busy, Max. I'll find it.
Damn it all to hell, my brother mutters, but he flexes in a martial pose.
You got 30 seconds.
Maxis uses fists of rage. Damage and critical attacks greatly increased. Defense and health greatly reduced.
Valhelena grips his shoulder with concern.
Maxis, what are you doing?
He gives her a tough guy grin. Relax. That first hit was a lucky shot. I never lose to these things. I watch, half mesmerized and half horrified, as my brother charges across the sand toward the Guardian, just as it raises its weapon to shoot at us. He flies forward with a triple kick, knocking the massive gun barrel into the air. He then wails on its armored leg with his fists, the sounds of ringing metal echoing across the desert like he's punching a church bell. Its hit points still don't move, but then its leg explodes and a 2-inch-thick plate of armor comes flying off. The Guardian falls to one knee, temporarily stunned.
Don't just stand there, Maxis shouts at me. Find your stupid ring!
I snap out of my awe-induced trance and run toward where Rembrandt is scouring the ground.
Do you remember where exactly?
He asks. I look for where I fell and point to that general area.
Around there, I think.
We rush over and Rembrandt immediately starts digging through the sand. I look back for the other Guardians in the distance and see that they're halfway to us. The dogs, however, are nearly on top of us, just a few hundred feet away. Fear rises in my chest, and I almost consider leaving the ring. But I drop to my knees instead, rifling through the sand with fervor. I nearly died for that ring. Baiko, too. It's the one thing that makes the Shadow King seem a little less frightening than it probably is, at least in my mind.
Got it!
Rembrandt shouts. He picks something from out of the sand and tosses it to me. I catch the ring in the air, thanking the stars. I secure it in my inventory just as an explosion rips between us.
Kaboom!
I'm blown back in a wave of heat and lose a quarter of my hit points. I hit the ground in a daze, and then my heart stops when I hear a shrill cry from Gilly.
Rem!
Oh, God. No. Not Rem. I shake my head and am half relieved to see the cyberpunker still alive, but he's clutching his left shoulder where his arm used to be.
Holy crap! Rem!
He grits his teeth in pain, his HP bar barely a sliver and deep in the red. I hear the snap and growl of the sentries as the beasts crest the top of the rise, ready to descend upon him.
No! I've got to keep them away from him.
I rush to Rembrandt's side and cast Shadow Mist at the three wolf-like sentries as they descend down the slope of the dune in a charge. The nanodust falls upon them, but it doesn't seem to have any effect.
Crap!
I shout at them with a war cry, making sure they attack me and not Rembrandt. I force myself into the zone despite the turmoil running through my mind. I get a quick stab in on each of them with my blades, and then shift on the balls of my feet to avoid the three sets of claws and bites that follow. I don't succeed at all of them, though, and take a nasty swipe to my leg.
Ah!
Searing hot pain runs through my leg, and I lose another chunk of my HP bar.
The lupine sentry hits you. You take 247 damage.
Reese!
I hear Gilly's voice cry out behind me. I turn to see her kneeling down, tending to Rembrandt, her bow raised in casting. His HP bar fills as his arm miraculously reconstructs itself, growing into existence in a line of sparking nanodust, just like when we were being printed for the first time.
Just run,
Rembrandt says, struggling to his feet.
Run!
No, you go, I shout. I'll buy you some time. I use my active dodge to avoid the next round of attacks from the three wolves. In my scant seconds of invulnerability, I catch a glimpse of Valhelena and Iko hammering away at the weak spot Maxis made in the Guardian's armor. The thing looks stunned, and surprisingly, they have it down to 3/4 of its health. I look for my brother next, but I don't see him. Then suddenly he appears, landing behind the wolves in a spray of sand as he slams his feet into the ground.
Maxis uses floor stomp. A lupine sentry is stunned. A lupine sentry is stunned. A lupine sentry is stunned.
Go!
He screams at me.
While they're stunned!
He looks back over his shoulder toward Iko and Val.
I got him! Go!
Val and Iko disengage from the still stunned Guardian, and I heed my brother's words, doing the same. I focus on Rembrandt and Gilly, already running ahead of us.
The ground trembles beneath my feet, and I sink into the sand a few inches as it liquefies.
What the heck?
I look over my shoulder and see Maxis, Iko, and Val Helena doing the same. What could have caused the ground to shake like that? I immediately think of the Omega, but that thing was over half a mile away. I look toward the skeletal remains of the builder anyway, but I don't see the giant anywhere. I scan a bit further ahead and finally see the 100-foot-tall suit of armor now almost halfway to us.
What the?
I look to my friends.
You guys see that? How did it move so far, so fat?
I stop mid-sentence as the enormous suit of armor shoots into the sky at tremendous speed, literally disappearing before my eyes. I lose sight of it in the darkened clouds until, a moment later, the Omega comes crashing down on the other side of the sand dune, less than 30 feet away.
Holy crap!
I'm thrown off my feet as a wave of liquefied sand radiates outward, half burying me as well as the dogs and the damaged guardian. I try to regain my footing as I struggle to comprehend what the heck just happened.
Did you see that?
Val Helena cries in alarm.
Holy crap.
Maxis echoes my thoughts out loud.
We need to run. Now.
How? Iko says.
That thing just jumped a quarter of a mile in 2 seconds.
The massive being, crouched now from its landing, slowly begins to rise to its full height, stealing my breath as my mind goes blank, gawking at it. Omega. Level 220. No data available. Affinity. N.A.
No way. Something like this can't possibly be for real. What do we do?
Val Helena shouts. I rack my brain for an answer. We can't run, but maybe we still have time to hide. It didn't move until the dogs found us, so they must have alerted it somehow. If we can get away from the dogs...
Iko, use Shadow Wall. If we get out of range of the dogs, I don't think it will be able to track us.
I hope you're right, she says, and the three of them disappear as Iko casts the spell. I hope I am, too. Rembrandt and Gilly are too far away to gain the effect of Iko's spell, as am I. I look for Gilly and see that she and Rem are at a standstill a good 100 feet away, staring up at the Omega.
Gilly, Rem, run,
I say through the party chat as I sprint toward them.
We're not cloaked,
Gilly says.
I got you, I say. Just go.
They finally take off running, and I pop a charge strike, using it for movement rather than attack, skirting across the sand to instantly close the gap. I cast Shadow Wall and envelop us just as the Titan stands to its full height. I look over my shoulder at the massive figure now scanning the rolling dunes for us. The dogs seem distracted too, fighting over what I think is the remains of Rembrandt's arm.
I think we got away, guys, I say.
Not yet, Maxis says. We're not safe till we hit that barrier.
I get a PM. Maxis.
And when we do, we're going to have a talk.
Chapter 38. Secrets Told. We run flat out for an hour straight until finally I see the edge of the safe zone come within view. No one talks. The tension is way too high following what we just experienced, and no one can wait to be back in the comfort of a world that doesn't have 100-foot-tall monsters that can jump a quarter mile. Or at least, I can't.
Just run straight through, Maxis says without pause. Keep our invis up.
No one questions it. We just go for broke. Rembrandt, however, does change our course a little. He aims us toward a piece of open space as far away from the packs of roaming sentries as possible. I refresh our shadow wall right before we hit the line of watchtowers. I feel for Gilly's hand and grab it before pouring on the speed. Thankfully, the packs of dogs seem far enough away still, and only a handful of them react to our presence as we dash through the barrier wall and re-enter the safe zone. The sky brightens immediately, and I feel a huge anxiety lift from my chest.
We made it.
As the shadow wall spell wears off and we fade into existence, several messages scroll onto my HUD. Host domain found. Connecting. Success. Your domain is now Carlos. Certain functions and quest lines may be unavailable. Notice, some quests have become unavailable, obsolete. Quest, defeat Jotun, has expired or become obsolete.
Weird.
Maybe entering the wild reset a whole bunch of stuff.
I look to Gilly, her hand still within mine. I smile at her, and she manages to smile back. She's breathing.